It's great to be here and be a part of this project. I hope you're all enjoying this reading as much as I am. I'm going to do a piece of nonfiction, and this is dedicated to my mother, Genevieve Higgins. Tasting a New Moon. My mother's idea of baking meant opening a package of bake-at-home dough. A child of the Depression, she grew up on Cleveland's Near West Side eating home-baked loaves of white bread made from bleached flour. After World War II, she was captivated by the new time-saving and always available store-bought packages of pre-sliced bread. As much as my two brothers and I couldn't get enough of our Grandma Ethel's fresh home-baked bread, hand-sliced while still oven warm, we were keen to the idea of grabbing slices of Wonder Bread from the bread box, slathering them with Skippy or Jif peanut butter and Welch's Concord grape jelly. Often, we'd have wax paper-wrapped sandwiches in our pockets or in paper bags when running out the door for a game of pickup baseball or to explore the woods and fields at the end of our street in Northeast Ohio. Ease became my mother's culinary motto. Evident over the years as she replaced the Christmas tradition of making her own cookies from scratch. Instead, she drove her little blue Ford Falcon to the nearest Sparkle supermarket to buy knockout gingerbread men and assembly line iced cutouts. It was only a matter of time before she began baking biscuits from prepackaged dough. Not only was it quick and easy, but it had the added joy of the scent of just from the oven pastry, which wafted from the small kitchen stove throughout the rest of our suburban ranch house. Her motherly duties seemed to her complete as she set a cloth towel-lined bowl of finished fresh bakery on the dinner table. And it was at such a dinner that I encountered my first croissant. But it wasn't an actual croissant. My mother had just popped open a thin cylinder constructed of cardboard with tin end caps that held packaged biscuit dough. After extruding the separated circular discs, she arranged the dough discs in rows in a cookie tray, rolled and reshaped them into something resembling a bell curve, then stretched the ends into points, sort of like a gooey white smile. She called them crescent rolls. What I knew of crescents I discovered in the Encyclopedia Britannica that my father had purchased for my two brothers and me. In the volume that included the letter E for Egypt, I read about the Fertile Crescent, which included the Euphrates, Tigris, and the Nile rivers, synonymous with the cradle of civilization, comprised of Upper and Lower Egypt, Mesopotamia, Syria, Phoenicia, and Palestine. And on the map, it resembles a quarter moon, either waxing or waning. And on the table where we ate supper, the towel-lined bowl held warm crescent dinner rolls. But not just any dinner rolls. These were crescent rolls produced by the Pillsbury Company, which had come to national prominence in 1949 when it began hosting the National Bake Off at the Waldorf Astoria Hotel in New York City. A year later, they followed with the introduction in the new supermarkets of the 1950s of packaged dough offered in the Give It a Pop cylinder. In what today would look like an episode from Mad Max, Rudy Purs, copywriter for Pillsbury's ad agency, imagined the wad of dough morphing into a small, pudgy doll that came to life. Pillsbury had found its mascot, the Doughboy, who was soon accompanied by a catchy sing-along jingle that celebrated, in an edited slant rhyme, how mothers could take lovin' from the oven and serve their families ready-made emotions every bit as warm as Grandma's home-baked bread. When my parents went out with their friends for dinner and drinks, my mother would leave my brothers and me with a special treat, crescent dogs. With the dough wrapped around an Oscar Mayer wiener and a folded slice of Kraft American cheese, always best served with tater tots. Such culinary artistry was a clear indication that regional cuisine was changing in the Midwest in the early 1960s. Why waste time on local apple cider, fresh cake donuts, or clam bakes in the audience when all you needed to do was whistle for the crescent dogs to come running? As the use of refrigerated pastry grew, so too did its shelf life from weeks to months. Concurrent with such product development was the rise of margarine products. Vegetable oils joined by beta carotene for yellow color and isolated natural butter compounds for real imitation butter flavor that when added to a refrigerated pastry did not go rancid. Hooray for that. Along this trajectory, Pillsbury went beyond the successful crescent roll, adding the new Butterflake line that made crescent rolls more like its French cousin, the actual croissant. But I was young then, eating those crescent dogs, and I did not know that what I took for real was merely a false version of the actual. Thank you.